Microsoft has announced that there will be no first-party Xbox Series X exclusives. Plus, Arcade 1UP had a big CES showing, including pinball. Tonight is January 12th, 2020, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right, it's me. SSJ1 under Matt says he wishes for a perfect RNG run of the show tonight. You're not going to get it. I already started late. Which I don't know. I guess that's maybe like running a streaming marathon where everything starts late. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a slightly late edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on Twitch on Sunday nights, where we are every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here at the Voice of Geeks Network's Twitch channel, welcome. If you're not here, you can do that if you are available on Sunday nights, which is a very difficult time to be available. I understand. Lots of family things go on. We are at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, and you can catch us Sunday night and tell me that I just did a level skip by just starting a little bit late on the live feed. I apologize for that. Lots of things going on, and I'll talk a little bit about that in just a second. But yeah. So join us then, or you can join us in our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where you can get the invite, and we're in there all week. Or you can leave a comment on an episode over at VogNetwork.com if the podcast episode gets up in a timely manner, which last week's episode actually isn't posted. So, ladies and gentlemen, let this be a public service announcement to you. That because I didn't – so this is kind of a – personal life and stuff, and I actually haven't mentioned this on social media because I don't want to like worry people in my family and stuff. So, and my family doesn't watch this podcast, so this is safe. But recently, health wise, I've been having headaches and stuff like that, and some dizziness and nausea and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm just not eating well or something like that. But then I had my it was time for my HVAC inspection of my heating and air conditioning units, and they stuck a camera inside my furnace at the heat things, and they said, "Oh, there's a crack. We're condemning your heater," because my heater, when you have a crack in, I think it's like between the heat valves. If you have a crack, that's how carbon monoxide gets out. And guess what some of the symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning are? And guess who doesn't have carbon monoxide testers in his house? So good news is they condemned it. I paid a whole lot of money on yesterday. Had a whole bunch of people here for 8 hours installing a new HVAC system in the house. And it wasn't that cold, so we were good. I live in Atlanta, thankfully. But So get carbon monoxide testers for your house. I don't think it was like so bad. Like it was very like the mild, like when you look it up, like our symptoms were in the mild, very mild category. And it's like, you should check something. So yeah. Yes. So, Fifth Dream Today says we want Bobby Wellwolf, not Bobby Sick Wolf. So yeah. That's kind of a little bit why the podcast didn't get up. And I was watching Games Done Quick, which broke a record, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Awesome Games Done Quick just wrapped up late last night. This morning, they got Polygon reports that concluded at midnight, which I think is midnight Pacific because it was well into 3 a.m., at another record-breaking run to charity with $3.13 million raised for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. So close to Pi Million. So close to Pi Million. So close. So it was raised from 54,000 to 134 donors. And I was one of those donors. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I did. I got in. I did get into it. And ladies and gentlemen, I think we can.
You probably have time for one more, I would say.
I have a $100 donation here from Bobby Blackwolf that says, "Love the ultra long runs at GDQ. Final Fantasy VIII was one of my favorite Final Fantasies, so it feels right to donate near the end of the run. Y'all are almost there."
Y'all are at the end of the run. So that was
so
me.
So he's going to do a save here because this next
and he's
enemy
he's going to do a save
can't...
there because we're not going to listen to that. But yeah, so during Final Fantasy VIII, I donated. And and they actually read it, and they actually read it pretty quickly. Like, it was like I had barely gotten everything set up so I could, like, clip it. And they're like, "Oh, and here's a donation from him." And so that was cool. I got read on GDQ. I did donate later in the week, which did not get read. It's because I'm a huge Rush fan, which people on Twitch have probably noticed that just a little bit. And then, if you didn't hear the news, Neil Peart, the drummer for Rush and lyricist for Rush, passed away from brain cancer on Tuesday, but they announced it on Friday. And so I did another donation in his name, which is what the band asked. And of course, they weren't going to read that because everybody was doing that at the time. And they don't want a very somber mood at Games Done Quick. They mentioned like they'll do like one donation that's like that, and then the others just go in there. So yeah. So, I donate a little bit this time, and I have decided that I am going to at least audition to be a host at Summer Games Done Quick if I remember when they actually do auditions. I have to actually keep up on it, like maybe like every week check like their Twitter or something to see if auditions have started because I completely missed it last time. That'll be in Minnesota is where it's going to be. They actually did not announce where Awesome Games Done Quick is going to be next year. So they announced the dates, but they have the time TBA. So June 21st to 28th in Bloomington, Minnesota is going to be Summer Games Done Quick. And then January 3rd through 3rd through 10th, 2021 will be the next Awesome Games Done Quick. But they did not say they will not say where that's going to be. Questbro says, yeah, follow their Twitter. They announce all their openings through it. See, here's the thing. I do. However, if you miss it, you miss it. Like, I don't comb through, like, I don't look through history of Twitter. So if, like, I'm on a business trip, and I think that's when they announced it, is, like, I was on a business trip or something else, I completely missed it. So, and the Breakman says, I don't know anyone who hasn't been affected by cancer, either personally or related friends with someone. Yeah, no, I've got people in my family that, you know, breast cancer, and in my family alone. That's why I was able to donate. So congratulations to them for raising all that. And the thing about GDQ, because everybody's like, well, you know, they're going to get their cut. You actually donate. The way GDQ does it is you actually donate directly to the charity. You don't you use GDQ's site to donate, but the PayPal address actually goes directly to Prevent Cancer Foundation, or in the summer it's traditionally been Doctors Without Borders. They don't get a cut of that. I think GDQ's revenue comes from the 2,000 attendees, I believe, is how much they had. There was, I think, in this thing, yeah, more than 2,750 people attended it at the DoubleTree Hotel, DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel in Orlando, Florida. So I think that's the memberships to that and shirt sales from the Yeti and sponsorships. So MAGFest sponsors, La Mulana sponsored, Final Fantasy XIV sponsored. That's where GDQ gets their money to run the event. But everything you donate goes directly to the charity. GDQ doesn't even see it. They just facilitate the transfer, and they don't even get a cut. And the good thing is, if you did use like Twitch Bits or Twitch subscriptions, Twitch donates their portion of the subscription and bits to the charity, and then Games Done Quick also donates throughout the entire month. Anytime somebody subscribes in the month of January, that gets donated to the charity as well. Yeah, and Questbusters said, I've donated before, and you get something in your email directly from the charity. Yes, that is true. So basically... They're just the facilitators, but Games Done Quick doesn't keep any of your charity money. But that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. There were a lot of great runs. It seemed like Games Done Quick this year, every day was like, oh my God, that's the best run in GDQ history. And every day we would have a new best. Because like the Fallout run, Fallout Anthology, it was all the Fallout games, all the mainline Fallout games. So the five, 1, 2, 3, New Vegas, and 4. All of them run in 2 hours, and it was run by a runner who was identified as Tamino Angus. The G is silent, and I actually remember that because he doesn't actually have a G in his name, but his actual Twitch name got flagged, and so anytime he would submit a speed run to GDQ, it would just automatically get flagged, and they wouldn't look at it because of his name. And he contacted them. He's like, "Yo, so what's up?" And they're like, "Well, it's your name. We can't show your name on our stream." And then they're like, "Would you mind putting a G in it?" He's like, "Yeah, that's fine." Or he didn't mind. Yeah, that's fine. And like he was totally cool with it. And so then he did a Fallout run, which was amazing because he would like explain tricks with dioramas of solo cups and cardboard and stuff. And he'd spend like 4 minutes doing this visual demonstration of a glitch. And then the glitch takes like 15 seconds. But he had a 4 minute load screen. So he did that. And then he used like pairs of pants, because every time you put on a pair of pants, you got faster and faster, and he made one of his couch people put on pants. So that was a lot of fun. And a lot of other people were offended on his behalf that he had to change his name, and he's like, "No, why? It's fine." So I thought that was cool. There were a lot more ROM hacks, I'm noticing. Like, I think they've kind of exhausted their stable of let's speed run the games themselves. So now there's randomizers, there's impossible versions, there's a lot of that stuff, and I'm kind of on the fence about it. I did watch so like the next day the best run ever was the Super Mario World ROM hack, where it's two people on two controllers, but every 30 seconds it changes back and forth, and they were like an old married couple arguing with each other about trying to get it, and that was hilarious. But then, like, it ended on the Super Metroid Impossible run. There was a Legend of Zelda randomizer with crowd control, which is a Twitch plugin that allows you to mess with the runner. And that was actually hilarious for about the first hour. And then I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, are they ever going to make it through? Because, like, the crowd kept killing him and stuff like that. So, Questmaster even says the Zelda one was great. It was. I enjoyed it. And then it got old after about an hour and a half. And I'm like, come on, I don't want to see this again. Because he'd get all the way there and then, bam, oh, we're just going to kill you. The crowd voted to kill you for charity. I actually wound up not seeing the end of it because that's when we had a tornado warning come by at our house. And so we're like, we're going to shut everything down. So I actually haven't watched the end of it yet. So, yeah, so there were a lot of good stuff. I'm going to go back on the YouTubes and catch the bits and pieces that I missed. So, and Questbus says, Andy was a trooper. Tireclaw says they did a Mike Tyson's Punch-Out with two players, one controller, while blindfolded. That was amazing, and that was not a ROM hack. That was just them holding the controller, and it was that was totally the way I remembered it. Totally the way I remember playing that. That's how I played the game. Lots of great stuff at Games Done Quick. Congratulations to them for pulling off the event. Thanks to all the runners that made it possible. And with any luck whatsoever, I might be able to be a part of it. So let's talk about it. There actually have been some news stories that have come out recently. This news has had some people scratching their heads. And it's kind of interesting the way that it goes down. So I'm going to try to break it down. I'm going to read the story first, then I'm going to break it down, because there's some ways that you can go off the deep end and think something different than what's actually going to be happening with the next-gen consoles. The Verge reports that Microsoft's upcoming next-gen console, the Xbox Series X, will break with tradition by not launching with exclusive games only playable on the new hardware. Instead, Microsoft is leaning into its Xbox Play Anywhere strategy and fully supporting backwards compatibility moving forward. According to Microsoft Studios head Matt Booty, who spoke with a UK gaming site MCV, says, quote, over the next year, 2 years, all of our games, sort of like PC, will play up and down that family of devices. We want to make sure that if someone invests in Xbox between now, as in today, and Series X, they feel like they made a good investment and that we're committed to them with content, unquote. This does seem to apply that there will be a point which new first-party Xbox games designed for the Series X won't run on the standard Xbox One, but that would appear to be ways out after launch. This is not a drastic departure from what they've been hinting at. The company has said its plan to make all first-party games on Xbox playable on Windows 10 as part of its Xbox Play Anywhere initiative. The company also said back in June at E3, before the official reveal, and when the new console was only known as Project Scarlet, that its next-gen console would also play Xbox One games. The same is true of Sony's PlayStation 5, with Sony confirming earlier this year. I guess, I don't know if... earlier this year, so in the past 10 days, that its new console would be backwards compatible with PS4 games, but Sony has not said if they're going to have games launching with the PS5 that can only be played on the PS5. But this is the first time that Microsoft has explicitly said that the new console won't be launching with a dedicated slate of first-party exclusives, as has been the case for pretty much every console generation the last couple of decades. The biggest first-party Xbox Series X exclusive, Halo Infinite, was already confirmed to be run on both the next-gen Xbox and Xbox One, as well as Windows 10. But he's clarifying here that that will be the case for every new first-party Xbox game going forward for at least a year after launch. So what is they're basically saying, and the breakdown of this, is that if you buy an Xbox One today, you will be able to play all of the Xbox first-party titles that get released for at least the next 2 years. Because Halo Infinite is going to run on the Xbox One you have. I am assuming, I have no idea if they are, but I am assuming that a new Forza, be it Motorsport or Horizon, I don't know, they didn't release one last year, so the years are off. This would normally be a Horizon year, but it might be a Motorsport. It will be playable on the Xbox One that you have today, but it'll be better on the Xbox Series X. So that's an interesting strategy for Microsoft to go down. Now, this is just first-party titles. So any of those studios that Microsoft bought to make games, remember 3 years ago they bought a whole bunch of studios? Well, this year we get to learn what they're all making. All those games are going to be playable on the Xbox One as well. So if you do not want to get a new console just to play the new games, and you have an Xbox One, you don't have to get an Xbox Series X this year. The game will run, the game will play, I'm sure the game will play fine. It'll play better on an Xbox One X, and it'll play even better on an Xbox Series X. It's up to you what level you want to go to. Now, third-party developers can make Xbox Series X exclusives all they want. So this is just Microsoft saying, we are going to have cross-platform within our own platform and with Windows 10. Third parties are not going to be beholden to that. So it's not like every Xbox Series X game will run on an Xbox One. That's not the case. It's just the ones made by Microsoft. They're going to run on everything. The Breakman says, "Dear Microsoft, thank you. I can still love my Halo without going broke." Exactly. Halo Infinite will be just fine. And the way that it sounds, it's like it's going to work, is that if later on you move up to an Xbox Series X, let's say in 2 years or 3 years you buy an Xbox Series X, you already own Halo Infinite for the Xbox Series X. For some reason, there are people really upset about this and how terrible this is. And I'm like, How is this terrible? Like, I'm apparently the anti-consumer person, and I think this is great. SJ where Matt says, it's change. That's why. People don't like the change. And ActDev says, bless Game Pass. Yes, Game Pass is also great. I'm really warming up to Game Pass. I'm really liking what's on Game Pass. They put Grand Theft Auto 5 on it, and I only have Grand Theft Auto 5 for the Xbox 360, so I may download it. I got to look at how my data is at the end of the month before I make any big, because it's a 70 gig download. So I got to see if at the end of the month I'm going to have enough room on my 1 terabyte data cap. Thank you, Xfinity. At the end of the month, I'll see if I can spare it and download. At CES, and this is so hard to find news on, because apparently everybody that loves this brand, they do videos like me. So it's really hard to find, like, a text roundup of this. So you have to, like, go through and watch a whole bunch of videos, which I'm not going to play any videos here on the stream, so you're not missing anything on the podcast feed. But at CES, a lot of stuff was probably announced, but the only thing I really noticed and cared about was Arcade 1-Up. And I didn't think that I would be ever be saying that because I was not really interested that much in what Arcade 1-Up was doing. And then I got an Arcade 1-Up machine, and I really like it. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what they unveiled. They have they've decided they're just going to take everything on in the 3/4 reconstruction market of arcade games. So they're still doing reproductions. They're still doing 3/4 scale. This is not a, you know, it's intended to be a kind of a replacement for an arcade machine, a real one. But if you want the real arcade machine, you should still look into getting a real arcade machine or creating a Raspberry Pi MAME cabinet. That's full size and everything. That's going to get you what you want there. But if you're not that hardcore into it, Arcade 1-Up is trying to get your business a lot. GameSpot actually did have a little bit of a textual thing, but that talked about all the new stuff Arcade 1-Up's going to be doing and some stuff that they showed at CES. And the first one that it talks about here, actually, I'm going to talk about the big one. The big news, which is not the first one they list, but it's the big news. But NBA Jam, you can be on fire. So this is an exciting addition. So it's an NBA Jam cabinet. It includes NBA Jam, NBA Jam Tournament Edition, and NBA Hang Time. But in a first for Arcade 1-Up, it has Wi-Fi in it, which means online multiplayer. So now, if you are ready to boom shakalaka all over your friends, you can now do that, and you don't have to be in the same place. Now, granted, each person needs to buy a $300 NBA Jam cabinet or whatever, but if you and a friend both have this $300 or $400 cabinet, however much it's going to cost, you can actually play each other online on NBA Jam. So up to four people on four different machines can play against each other, and there's no extra fee. Arcade 1-Up also did the work to license most of the original players. Unfortunately, not every player was able to get relicensed, so they've probably had to change some of the players. So it's not everybody that you remember, but it's hopefully going to be enough, and it's still NBA Jam. ActF says, from downtown. Yes. We've learned that global warming is just some kid being on fire in NBA Jam, making a lot of dunks. That's what's causing global warming. These are true facts. Scientists say this is true. The Breakman says, these are cool and all, but I don't want to spend $300 for one or two games. And I love NBA Jam, and that is totally fair. That's why I said, you know, if you really want something like this, you can get, like, you can build a cabinet, and it's a little bit more than $300 to do this, and put, like, a Raspberry Pi in it or a PC or something, and you can get 700 arcade games in there, and you can play them on the joystick and the buttons. So that's an alternative if you don't want just the two or three games. The reason I bought one of the Arcade 1-Up cabinets is because it had a custom controller. I got the Star Wars one that has the flight yoke. No other games use that flight yoke. So it actually makes sense, if you really liked it, to buy that one. Which is also why I'm like, if they make a racing wheel one, which they did not announce at CES, one with a racing wheel and a foot pedal, then I'd probably get that one. But I wouldn't get like an NBA Jam one or something like that. So they have a limited edition Burger Time cabinet. I believe Rob Roberts from OLR is a big Burger Time fan. The big marquee machine is its limited edition Burger Time. Unlike the rest of the company's line of 3/4 scale cabinets, it's only available for pre-order on Arcade 1-Up's website. So no Walmart, no GameStop, no Costco. What makes this cabinet particularly special is the light-up marquee and the unique Burger Time cabinet design with the rounded side panels. Most of Arcade 1-Up's previous cabinets have featured the same basic shape. Yes, they have. In addition to Burger Time, the game comes installed with Karate Champ, Bad Dudes, and Caveman Ninja, because we want to know if you're bad enough to save the president. Golden Axe is coming. It's going to be the first time that Revenge of the Death Adder has been officially re-released since the arcades, but it's also going to have Altered Beast, Wrestle War, and Shinobi. They've got a new Frogger cabinet. It's going to bring Frogger and Time Pilot and Time Pilot 84. So they're also got in here the Star Wars cabinet. Now, I already bought the Star Wars cabinet, and I already did a video on the Star Wars cabinet. It's up on our YouTube. So I looked, and I had to look. This is where I was like, man, the text, nobody's talking about the Star Wars sit-down cabinet. And I finally found a video of somebody that was doing a walkthrough with somebody at Arcade 1-Up. So, because I know, I don't know if Pod Culture's in chat, I know he bought a Star Wars cabinet as well. And I was like, dang it, because if you don't remember the original Star Wars arcade machine, they had a cockpit version that you sat in the cockpit and played the Star Wars game. That was like the jam back then. And I was like, I heard that they were doing a sit-down version of the Star Wars cabinet. And I was like, oh, man. Of course, the one that I buy is then going to have the sit-down version. So, I watched this video about it. What they're doing is they're taking the exact same Star Wars game that I bought, not shipping it with a riser, but instead shipping it with this padded bench that you can sit on. And it's themed. It's got the theme and stuff. That's all it is. And the person in the video that I watched even said, yeah, we're going to sell this bench separately for people who already bought Star Wars Arcade. So what they're doing, I guess, is they're kind of testing out a sit-down system where instead of a riser and you standing at it, they're going to have a bench that you can sit down and play the cabinet while it's not on the riser, so when it's in its shorter configuration. So I think this is going to be a test, and then eventually they're going to just sell that bench, like just a generic bench, like they sell generic risers that just say Arcade 1-Up on them, and it will slide in and out on the cabinet, because that's kind of what it does, is it fits the cabinet, it'll slide in and out on the sides. And Podculture says, I'd rather have the riser, I'll bring my own seat. I was worried, like, when they first said it, I thought it was going to be, like, the whole cockpit thing, which would have had, like, something over you and behind you, and then I saw, I'm like, oh, it's just a bench. Okay. I'm not as upset anymore that I got the Star Wars cabinet. And Questbus says, the new Star Wars Battle Pod cabin is insane. Yeah, that's actually, there's a Star Wars version, but there's actually, like, I think there's a Japanese game that uses the same technology, and it's also insane. And then when they Americanized it, they got the Star Wars license. And then, pinball. When was Arcade 1-Up going to get into pinball? Well, it's now. So they are going to be venturing into the digital pinball space. Partnering with digital pinball developer Zen Studios, it's creating 3/4 scale version of both modern and classic tables. They're not playable, but they are. But they were showing a Star Wars table and Attack from Mars table. They were not sure what games are going to be included. But they did say that each pinball table is going to have 10 games. That's from that same YouTube video. They're going to have 10 games on them. And there is haptic feedback. So, like, when the ball hits the side of the table, the table actually does shake, even though it's digital pinball. And the back glass doesn't change or anything. But it's basically a monitor that you look down at and play pinball on. And then I think, and it's got another monitor that looks like to be the dot matrix display. And I don't know if it's going to be an actual dot matrix display or if it's going to be just another monitor that looks like a dot matrix display, which is what some digital pinball cabinets do, kind of emulating the display. But that's going to be coming out, and they're going to be talking more about that later. As someone who wants to get a digital pinball cabinet, and as someone who knows that Zen Studios does not make it very easy for you to get pinball effects to work on a digital cabinet, in the sense that even if you own Pinball FX 3 and you own tables for it, you can ask them for a key. But apparently what they then ask you is you need to send them the receipt for your digital pinball table, and because they're going to charge you, I think, 10 or 20% of what you paid for the table to get that key. So pro tip, from what I understand, is if you don't actually buy a pre-made table, if you buy a kit and build it yourself, you don't know how much you paid for it, and so they can't charge you. I know that Zen Studios they made some digital pinball tables that worked with their stuff. I'd see them at Southern Fried Gaming Expo. They would actually show those off. And I think this is going to be more, and they said it's going to be about somewhere between $400 and $600 for this digital pinball table that runs Zen Studios stuff. Questbus says, I wonder if someone will eventually make a small arcade from all these arcade one-ups and turn it into a restaurant bar thing. I'm not sure. See, here's the thing about the bar thing is the arcade one-ups don't have coin slots. And how does a bar, restaurant, bar, arcade make money? Your quarters. They're going to want actual machines. There are arcades, especially pinball arcades, that charge by the hour. And then you could have these in there. But a bar, a restaurant, wants your quarters. The Bregman says, arcade one-up is going to break me down eventually. I'll probably own one and eat my words about sending money. I was the same way. I was looking at him and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to save up for an authentic cabinet. I'm going to save up. And I also, even though I want like a digital pinball machine, a full-size one, like one that VP Cabs was doing, I actually also want a real pinball machine. Like, I'd love to have the Doctor Who, like, actual physical 1991, I think it was. Darksoccer's listening and yelling the year out right now, I can tell. But the actual Doctor Who pinball machine with the first seven Doctors. That's my dream machine. I actually want the physical version of that. But I want a digital pinball table. I'm not sure yet if I'm going to get an arcade one-up one yet or not. I don't know. Breakman says, if they do Gauntlet 1 and 2 with four sticks, they could. It's getting the license, I think, at this point, because they've got the NBA Jam has four sticks. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one has four sticks. But the problem is, because it is 3/4 scale, you better hope that all four people are skinny. It still works, but you're better off. Like, my dream MAME cabinet Raspberry Pi would be one that had four joysticks in it, but it'd be a full size. Weird. So yeah, so I'm excited. I want to see what the pinball stuff is, because having more people get into pinball is great, and I like what Zen Studios does with the tables, and they have the license, the Bally and the Williams license now, instead of instead of Pinball Arcade. So, and obviously that's what they're going to be using, because I think Attack from Mars is one of those. But they also make great digital tables that you can only play digitally, like their Star Wars tables and stuff. They are re-releasing, like, Pac-Man. Like, they've got a new cabinet that has more, like, a lot of Namco stuff. That was one of the ones they were showing as well. So it's kind of a re-release of the original Pac-Man with other games in it. So they're not shy of re-releasing old games into new cabinets, which might hurt them later because people will be pissed off that they have the old version. But then you can sell the old version to somebody for cheaper. You know, yeah, you played it some, but you get some money back, and then you can get the new version. Questbush says the wide X-Men cabinet was rough with six players. Oof for those that were on the ends. And Podcoach says, add the lighted marquee to all of them. I think nowadays they do have the lighted marquee in all of them, like the new versions. Because like even like Mortal Kombat, they re-released Mortal Kombat with a light-up marquee. It came with the light-up marquee and the riser, but you could also get it without the light-up marquee, and it was cheaper. So, we're going to take a quick music break and then open up the Discord for your calls. If you want to join in and call in, vognetwork.com/Discord is where our Discord server is. Hop in the green room chat channel. There might have been other stuff at CES that I just completely missed because I was watching GDQ. And stuff like that. Dark Soccer says, I am required to own a Doctor Who pinball. Go get one now. I keep checking, and there's no Doctor Who pinballs in the immediate, like, in an area where I can go get it. So I'm going to have to wait for one of the local collectors to be like, I want to sell my Doctor Who pinball. And then I can go get it. So we're going to take a quick music break, courtesy of Overclock Remix, and then come right back. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
It's me, Mario. Not really. Obi-Wan Jabroni instead. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com. Sorry for the terrible impression, by the way, Charles Martinet. I tried.
He did try. That's exactly what happened. Hello, yes, welcome back. If you want to leave a bumper, all you got to do is send me if you want to do audio, send me an MP3 of just your voice to the email address bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Or you can You can send me a video bumper, and we can talk about how you can Dropbox it over or something over on Discord. We actually did get some video bumpers, so thank you so much for that. Haven't been able to edit them in yet. Of course, I also haven't edited the last podcast yet, so I'm a little behind, but I'm also trying to get the right background for it. So thank you so much to the – he knows who he is. You know who you are, and I'm just waiting to get the right thing to happen so it works. Awesome. So, yeah, so this is the part of the show where if somebody wants to call in, what you do is you go into the you go into our Discord server at vognetwork.com/Discord, and you jump into the Green Room chat channel, and then I can bring you in and we can talk about something, because maybe there was more going on at CES than I initially looked at, because, like I said, GDQ was going on. And yeah, so we can talk about that, or if you want to talk about the Xbox and how they're not going to have exclusive first-party titles on the Xbox Series X, one of those. If you want to talk about the benefits of having a carbon monoxide detector, like I don't, so I don't get a heater condemned after getting headaches a couple times and then having to spend a lot more money than a Doctor Who pinball table, I can say that, a lot more money than that getting an HVAC system that's not poisoning me. We could talk about that, too. Or you can also throw out something in chat, and we can talk about it for a little bit, because we got a little bit of time. I started late, and I'm still, like, doing great time. Or I can, since on the podcast feed, you can't see this, but I'm actually, what I do on Twitch is I kind of put stuff around my computer setup and stuff, because I don't have a green screen, so you've got all my stuff behind me. And so usually I kind of dress it up with different stuff each week, and this week it's all the band Rush. So I've got a vinyl of 2112 back there. I've got an actual radio promotion vinyl of one of their songs, The Big Money, which was one of my favorite 80s era songs, and it's actually like the radio version that they sent to radio stations. It's the same song on both sides and stuff. It's even has a little warning to programmer that it's got a fake fade out and stuff, so they don't cut it off early. Yeah, because Neil Peart passed away this week, I've got a Rush. My first concert was the Vapor Trails tour, so I'm a little bit late than most people in getting into Rush, especially a lot of their older fans. I got to see them. I can't remember how many times I've seen them, but it's not astronomical. It's basically like every time they came through Atlanta since 2000. I went to go see them, which means I've probably seen them like 6 or 7 times, which is not like I've got like documentaries here of like Rush, and they talk to fans like, this is my 115th Rush show. And I'm like, you're okay. I couldn't do that. Like, I'm not that much into them, but, yeah. So, I was a big Rush fan, but, the last concert I went to, was the R40 concert, which was really great. But I could kind of tell that it was time, like physically, it was taking a toll on them. And it was kind of sad to hear that about 6 months after that tour ended is when Neil Peart got diagnosed with brain cancer. And he hung on for about 3 years and passed away this week. So I had some documentary watching that I did, and been listening to Rush songs. And then I'll be fine. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Act Deft.
Act Deft, what's up, man?
Well, Pokemon Direct.
Yes.
Pokemon DLC. I'm really excited about it. Like, Pokemon Sword and Shield were one of my favorite games, if not my favorite game of last year. And it's really incredible that they're going to expand on the concept they did with this last games. Expand it even more and not doing another version, which was probably what most people expected. But at the same time, people are still mad. And I don't know why. I don't understand why. But, yeah.
Because a lot of people who've never done game development believe it's really easy to do this stuff, and they believe that because the reason this DLC exists is because they were greedy and didn't put all this stuff in the game in the first place. That's why they're mad. It's basically they don't understand how game development works.
Yeah, I'm going to say and go ahead saying this. People are dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, really, they probably did plan kind of this ahead and all that stuff, but still, it's like, even playing Pokemon right now, it's like the, especially in the competitive aspect of it, it seems like it was planned to not have all the Pokemon, have at least a little more balanced game, even if some Pokemon are really more powerful than others, but still, mm-hmm. it's like more fair or fairer than before, than that the legendaries or more uber Pokemon took over the meta. Sorry, and felt overpowered, basically.
Yeah.
So this time around, how are they doing it and expanding more on the lore of the Galar region, doing more stuff that more of the wild area is like welcome. It's like, okay, do more of that, because that's really something I do like about Sword and Shield, that the open area, the wild area.
Yep.
Exploring, doing raids, max raids, all that stuff. It's like really, really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I've even spent a lot of time doing that, because this is my first mainline Pokemon game since Blue. So I don't know much about the mainline Pokemon games, but I have Sword. And I actually do spend more time just in the wild area, just like doing raids by myself. I don't invite others because I'm still in like the 2 to 3 star range. So I'm like, I can one shot it. I don't need to bring other people in. And but I've been doing that a lot more than going through to, you know, the gyms. I think I am now at the Dark Ghost Gym, I want to say. I think that's where I'm
at. Yeah, I think that's the fourth gym, if I remember correctly, but yeah.
No, it's the...
It's the fifth gym.
I just did the one that's in the snow. I just did the one that's in the snow.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And then, yeah, because I have Sword. So my third... I think that the third gym is the one that's exclusive. So I think for Shield it was Dark, but for me it was Fighting, I think. I don't know. But yeah, I just did the rock gym, I think, or the ground gym, or whichever that was. But it's the one in the snow mountain, and so now I don't know.
Oh yeah, you're further than I thought. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so I think I've got six. I've got six of the things.
And I was going to ask you about that, if you were still enjoying the game.
Yeah,
especially since you're a kind of newcomer to the Pokemon.
Yeah, I am.
At least the main games.
And, like, I'm just trying to tell myself I don't have to catch them all. Like, I'm not obsessed with catching them all. But it's nice. It's kind of a veg-out type thing, especially because it's a turn-based game and stuff. So I play it usually, like, laying in bed and stuff. And I'll just, like, go around the wild area and clear some dens and stuff. And that's all I'll do. So I have all these XP candies that I haven't used. And so I'm set. If I really needed to power someone up. But no, I have fun going to do that. And then I'll every once in a while go into the store and I'm like, yeah, murals, whatever. Yeah. We're trying to, like, I don't care why I fight. Just let me go in and fight. But I am enjoying it. I do like the fact I know there's no national decks and blah, blah, blah. But for me, who's not really, you know, in the series, 151 was already overwhelming to me, and, you know, 400-something is kind of overwhelming as well, but at least it's not 900. It's a little bit more inviting to me.
Yeah, it's not as intimidating as it could seem. Yeah. But, yeah, even then, like, collecting the Pokédex, shiny hunting, then hunting.
Oh, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not. But, no, I looked up a breeding guide, and I'm like, nope, close the page. I don't care. No eggs. I'm not hunting for any shiny things. Like, I do have a Gigantamax Pokemon, but like that's just out of luck. So I got the
yeah. Even then, like there's that stuff, and there's other stuff you can do. It's like a really open game. Like it's not. many people say that, oh, it's like really linear Pokemon. It's a really linear game. This one feels like more open to do whatever you like, because even just spending time on the open area and the wild area, even when I was traversing through the story, I was doing the same exact thing as you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want to do this raid. Oh, there's a wild Pokemon here I can catch and all that stuff. Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah, but I mean, I was looking at like the breeding stuff, and I'm like, no. No, that's too much.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's too much, but yeah, I'm a Pokemon.
I know.
I was going to say a bad word, but no.
Yeah. No, I know, and that's great for you guys, but like, I'm glad that they don't make it forced, because I know I fall into that trap, because the reason I never finished Final Fantasy VII back in the day, even though I'm 29 years old, we understand this, but back in the day when it was a new game, the reason I didn't finish it was because I convinced myself I had to get Knights of the Round, which means I needed to get the gold or the black, whichever chocobo you needed to get over to that island. And so I did all the breeding stuff, and I burnt out of the breeding stuff. I never went and finished the game. I could have gone and finished the game with the characters I had, but I was like, I have to have that Knights of the Round, and I never got it, so I never finished the game.
Yeah, and that's the thing sometimes to understand, that you don't need everything in the game to finish it. Just enjoy it. But
yeah,
I work on another level, at least in Pokemon terms. Like, and yeah, Breakman, there's the thing like Poke addiction, so yeah.
No, and a lot of people do. Like, a lot of people that play Pokemon, like, that's what their thing is. Like, I'm going to finish my decks. I'm going to, you know, get, you know, do all the post-game content. I'm going to do everything. And I'm like, no, I'm like, if I see the credits roll, I'm going to be happy. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, hopefully you can finish this Pokemon game.
Yeah.
And be really happy with it.
And Tech Law says Pokemon requires a lot of grinding, and most people who play casually don't have time for that. It actually doesn't require a lot of grinding. This Pokemon doesn't, because of the wild area and because of the raids. I had fun. Like, it didn't feel like grinding to me. And now I've got all these XP candies that I can then give to Pokemon. So if, like, oh, I need a Pokemon that's able to take on this gym, and none of the ones I've been using are high enough level, I've already got the things to put them up. I don't need to put them in my party and run around and just do random fights just to get them to level up. And so I think that's one of the things that I really like about it. I'm prepared. I could probably beat the game tonight, but I'm not going to. But I probably have enough candies and enough of the correct Pokemon to go through and see the credits tonight if I really wanted to. So it really doesn't need that much grinding.
And even then, there's stuff like XP Chair and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's like, at least in the previous generations, it has been less grindy as the first gen. So, yeah.
And my favorite thing, my favorite quality of life that they did, which I don't know if they did this in the previous games, is that once you have beaten a Pokemon, it puts on the moves ahead of time if they're super effective or not very effective. You don't You don't have to memorize
the
super chart.
They did it in the last generation, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think Eevee did it. Like, I don't think the Let's Go games did it. But that's, like, so I don't have to memorize all the frickin' this type is weak to this type. Oh, and this Pokemon has two types, so now you have to figure out which they're actually, you know, what they're actually susceptible to and stuff. And it's a lot. I do have I cheat, and I have a website on my phone that, like, has just, like, the generic, like, what each class is weak to. And so I always just have that up, and I'm like, oh, okay, let me change to that.
Yeah, I go to Cerebi.net, and I also have the official strategy guide besides me, so it's like, yeah, even me, I sometimes
find it difficult. Like, I look up a Pokemon, and it goes to Cerebi, and it's so hard for me on my phone to find, like, okay, just what's its type? That's all I want to know is its type, and it's, like, hidden somewhere. So I actually just have a thing that's,
no,
like...
it's because in Cerebi, you can also look the weakness, so it does tell you what it...
And it's hard to find. It's just hard for me to easily find it, where I've got a site, and it's actually from Polygon, which a lot of people don't like, that just says, ground... strong against this, weak against this. And it's just like this little table, and that's it. Anyway, taking up a lot of time. Thanks so much for your call.
Hey, thanks for having me, like always.
All right. So coming up next, thank you so much for the call. It's nice to have a call again. Coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, even when I go over, which I think they're fine with. But we like checking with them. Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. So we actually have news this week, finally.
Yeah, it's nice to kind of be back in the swing of things, huh?
Yeah, we're back to talking about news, and I know you're kind of you're interested in all the arcade one-up stuff, even though you don't have one. But I know that you were going to talk a little bit about it tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot of the CES news kind of seems to be all about collectible hardware type stuff. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's things about PlayStation as well. I don't want to dismiss mm-hmm. everything else, but I think as far as the PlayStation thing, we all kind of saw it coming, so I'm not sure how that's news, but whatever. But the collectible stuff, there's a lot of neat stuff coming out of that. And of course, you know, I'm into the, and I have my own little arcade right yeah. here with the Burger Time that I'm pointing at on the stream. So yeah, I'm excited about the Burger Time Arcade 1-Up, even if I haven't really purchased it yet, just because, you know, it's $400 it's $400 to buy it. And then there's yeah. tax. And then I imagine there's shipping as well. And yeah. so it's really closer to $500. It's, and mm-hmm. so that's quite a chunk of change. As much as I understand it's limited edition, they're only making so many of them. It's like, if it ain't right, it ain't right. So I don't know if this is going to be the time for me for that.
You know what else is limited edition?
Huh?
Me. And y'all have enough of me, so don't worry about
that's
it.
That's true. You know, yeah, we have our memories, if yeah. nothing else. I swear that when I actually saw a real Burger Time machine at the auction when it was still open, it was like $500. So mm-hmm. I would rather just buy the dang machine.
Yeah. Yeah, and but I noticed like they also had a lot of like the plug and play machines too. So arcade one ups even like going into we're gonna make a plug and play into your TV, and they had like yeah. an Intellivision one, and they had a, you know, then they had like a DuckTales one and stuff like yeah. that. So I think arcade one ups like okay, we got the $500 market, let's get the $50 market now.
Yep. Yep, and they've already got their foot in the door thanks to their, you know, the Walmart stuff. So they're pretty smartly run, you got to say, whether you're a fan of what they're putting out or not. But I like these guys on the smaller scale, and they announced quite a few new of these types of machines too on the smaller scale. So I'm okay with that.
I'll be honest, I don't have room anymore.
Yeah, I know, and that's my problem.
But
too.
We actually that Mortal Kombat that we picked up that you picked up for us, mm-hmm. it is the Genesis Mortal Kombat. The blood code's been removed.
Oh, really?
We tried the blood code and it didn't work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. It's interesting how they have altered some of the ROMs. But apparently there's a Bubble Bobble one now, but it's in this series. It's in the Target or the My Arcade. Okay. It's in this series, not the other one.
Well, you know I'm going to have it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's a good time to be into retro stuff.
It well or bad, if you yeah. depending on how you look at it in your wallet.
But for people that like the full-size stuff, maybe now like the market will expand because people will be like, oh, I'll just get the arcade 1-Up version. And then so now the full-size one may go down in price or it may be easier to find, especially if they go down the pinball route. That's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm like, instead of buying a full-size pinball table, they could just buy the arcade 1-Up thing for $400, $600. And then I can go in and buy the full-size pinball table like the Doctor Who that I'm still looking, but I haven't been able to find one close enough yet.
It'll be interesting to see kind of how that all levels out because, you know, when games like, let's say, Suikoden came out, you know, that's a very rare PlayStation game that often goes for a lot of money, relatively. Mm-hmm. You know, when that came out on the PlayStation 3 marketplace, many folks thought that was going to kind of kill the value of the collectability one. And maybe it did by like 10 to 20%, but it didn't, mm-hmm. like, it didn't put it in the basement. And in fact, it's probably come back up a lot since then. So sometimes the collectibles don't necessarily have to affect the originals because some people collect it because it's the original.
Right. The thing that always gets me now, because I've been looking into it about like collecting like the older games and especially cartridge games, is I did not realize how rampant counterfeiting was in the cartridge world.
Oh, yeah.
Until recently. Like, I didn't realize, and they're like, no, if you really want to make sure, you've got to, like, take a screwdriver with you whenever you go to conventions or to a store and take apart that damn cartridge and look for these specific things.
Yeah, that's why I super can't get into it, honestly. It's, you know, not for me. And I think Darksakura got into it in a time before that was all rampant. You couldn't just make your own cartridges. So I think you kind of got your foot in the door before you really had to check for that stuff.
And typically, if I'm buying cartridges, I'm thrifting them anyway. Because you can look into really good stuff at the thrift store because they don't know what they're selling.
Oh, you're trying to find the folks that don't know the value.
Yeah. Exactly. Sure, that's the way to do it is you
garage
find
sales?
The people who don't know what they have. Mm-hmm. Or like that NES that I bought in a box with like 10 other games and one of them was Pocky and Rocky 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even out of the box, that thing is bucks. So
yeah.
Good point.
I'll have to go hit some thrift
sales. Just saying, I do have a Ninja Gaiden trilogy in the box with manual that I'll sell someone for $500.
You've been trying to sell that for 10 years.
Not really trying to sell. We just sort of mention it.
Yeah.
I have the Final Fight Guy cartridge.
I have it in the box with the manual.
I think I still have the box and manual at my mom's house. I've got to still look. But I worked at Blockbuster, so that's how I got it.
That'd fetch you about $700, depending.
I mean, it's definitely open and been played because I play my game.
Same, but still.
But right now I just have the cartridge only. But I worked at Blockbuster, so it made sense for me to buy it at the time.
I always liked it because I liked Guy better than Cody.
Yeah,
same.
So what else
you
guys
going
to be...
When we play that, Dan still plays Hagar. Yeah.
So what else you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Well, let's see. Outside of the various CES news, we got big news in the Pokemon world. I know you and ActDef were talking just there about Pokemon Sword and Shield. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Pokemon Direct that happened this week, which is some big news, which for some reason seems to be controversial. We'll talk a little bit about that, I suppose, and all that. And then the official PlayStation 5 logo was revealed. And guess what? It is exactly what you would expect.
Yes. Hooray! Oh, I was just on the edge of my seat wondering what could it be, and it was just like, wow.
We'll talk about it anyway. We'll talk about our games of the year finally. We had to delay that a little bit, but we're going to get into that finally tonight, and the good old time capsule, so stay tuned. Time capsule night is tonight. I think this story is very cool. One of the really great indie title, really inspired by Commodore 64 classics, we'll say, came out within the last 10 years or so, maybe 15, just released all the source code.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I looked through it. It's messy, which makes me feel better about my own code because games are messy. Their source code to games are messy.
That's right. Hashtag games are messy.
Yes. All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. I don't think OLR is going to be here next week, so it's going to be just me, which means if you want us to raid you after the show, you should be streaming at around 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and we can raid you and your Twitch channel after the show next week. So try that, because I will start looking. I will start looking for someone to raid. So you can leave comments on vognetwork.com, and you can leave me a bumper. So you can chat with me in Discord or send me an MP3. The email address is bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf. Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. Instagram @BobbyBlackWolf. Also vognetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you all for hosting us on your personal feed. Usually I read out the names of the people that are currently hosting Fog Network. Twitch took that ability away from us, so I can't see. So I'm not going to read any out. But your bits and subscriptions have been very generous over the past couple months, so I do thank for that. And if you like the show, you know, we haven't gotten a good review in iTunes since 2012. And the show's been around 15 years, so a lot of you probably already left reviews 10 years ago. But if you leave a good review over on iTunes or Google Play Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, that would be awesome. Thank you so much. I am going to get out of here. And I will promise that I'll have the podcast up by the end of the week. And then I will see you next week here on the show. And I will not be poisoned by my HVAC system. That's going to be great. It's the best news of the week. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.